enjoy those on us. Again, freetalklive.com. It is Ian here with you.
And Nick.
And Mark.
And you can join us on our website. Again, it's all totally free. So we will start things out here with an update. The latest on the Brian Travis horse raid situation, or the horse raid situation up here in New Hampshire, happened yesterday morning. One of our listeners, Brian Travis, his property was raided by about a dozen cops, several volunteers. They shut down the road out in front of his home, so people could not travel down it. This seemed a little bit unusual.
They blocked the road a half a mile in either direction from his house. When was the last time you heard of a warrant where they did that? I mean, doesn't that sound like a horse? They got Al Capone in there or something?
Right. Now, I could understand that if they had a man who was armed and holding his family hostage or something like that, blocking off the road, because you don't want somebody meandering into a situation like that. But they were going after his horses. So they blocked off the road. The trailers that they brought up had the license plates taped over. You could not identify who was involved in volunteering with this effort, because they also brought some volunteers along to confiscate Brian's wife's horses from the property. Now, they didn't take all of the horses. Now, some are alleging, and if you go to the Union Leader article, you can see that there are allegations there that there was something called animal hoarding going on. The idea being that allegedly Brian's wife was just collecting a bunch of really expensive horses.
It's expensive animal hoarding. I think when you get above a certain cost as far as the livestock goes, that maybe you're a rancher. Or some term like that, hoarding.
I'm not sure if there's any truth to these allegations. It's what's on the Union Leader article, and of course anybody can post comments there. And most of them are basing their presumptions off of a very awful video that was shot by Brian. I mean, it was awful in the fact that it was shot on his BlackBerry and then uploaded to YouTube, and it's just low compression algorithm compiled on top of another low compression algorithm, or rather high compression, excuse me. These videos were very high compression. Resulting in low quality. So you really couldn't even see the faces of the bureaucrats, even on relatively close shots of the bureaucrats. You couldn't really tell who these people were. And so that's what these people are basing their claims off of. They were claiming that, you know, the horses didn't look so good. But then again, Brian didn't get close up to any of the horses. He was in the process of being bowled over by the shock of having a dozen cops come into his home. And in that situation, you may not know what exactly to do as far as creating a narrative for your video is concerned.
Are they talking about the same video that you and I saw?
We're talking about a 9-minute-long video. It's available. You can get it easily over at blogofbile.com.
You and I watched that video last night. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, so I saw that video. If anybody is saying anything about how those horses look, the only thing they can say is that, because there's one horse in the video, is that correct?
I don't know. I think there were a couple horses.
Only saw the one instance where they were the horse had a coat on, and the only
that
thing
I did notice
you could say about the horse is he's brown. I mean, there's nothing to be seen as far as the horse goes.
Right. It's a very blotchy video because of the high compression that is used on it. You can barely even see details in the video. Now, the police do have their own video. You could see a policeman with a video camera in the video footage. And so that means that the police video should be able to be subpoenaed, essentially. Should be able to, Brian or whoever it is that gets involved in this case, should be able to get their hands on that video. And the cops, what I wanted to point out was they didn't take all of the horses. So some people are alleging, well, these horses are in bad condition. The horses are not being taken care of appropriately. The government will not comment. So they've gone into this situation, and they will not give the news media, anybody, even the Union Leader, the local newspaper, they will not give anybody a comment, claiming the investigation is still ongoing. So how is it that they can go and confiscate someone's horses if the investigation is still ongoing? In addition, if these horses are really sick and these government bureaucrats are really concerned for the welfare of these horses, why didn't they take all of the horses? Now, wait a minute. Just before you jump to a conclusion and you think the horses were just all standing around in a stall, that's not the truth. From what Brian told us last night, the reason they didn't take the other horses, in fact, didn't even look at the other horses, was because they were kind of out and about. You know, it's a fairly large piece of property.
Sure.
Horses go and they tromp around and do horsey things. And so the government bureaucrats and the volunteers, this veterinarian from a local vet clinic, went in and they looked at the horses that were just kind of standing around, and they took those horses. So there are still horses left on the property that the government guys didn't even bother to spend the time and effort to take a look at. So is it about welfare, or is it about what Brian was suggesting last night, and that it's about a vendetta, a personal vendetta by these government agents, one of them who is an SPCA, which is apparently a private organization, or it was, it's now somehow become an arm of the governmental bureaucracy. Anyway, this former cop, now animal control officer, basically, Steve Sproul from the SPCA, he, from what I understand, was behind this. Now, Steve was kind of made to look bad a few months back when Cooper, who's the son of Brian Travis, was arrested for being on his own property and operating a video camera. Now, Nick is here, of course, tonight from FreeMind TV. As somebody who is in the television media business, you understand a thing or two about recording government bureaucrats, especially if you're on your own property and obviously doing it with a camera held out in front of you. They had this young man arrested. They didn't charge him with anything. And I think you guys covered this on FreeMind TV.
I believe we did.
He was arrested, taken down to the police station, and released. So there were no charges. They were just trying to scare Cooper. I mean, he's 18, 19 years old. They're trying to intimidate him into being a good little boy and following orders and not recording when the cops say to not record, etc. And so what is presumed to be going on here, at least by Brian, I think, and his family and his that side of things, is that there is a vendetta here on the part of this Steve Sproul character. Because he was made to look real bad in that video.
I can't tell you, what kind of condition these horses are in. I haven't seen them. The only video I've seen of them is, like I said, the only thing you can tell about the horses is they're brown.
Josh called last night. He says he goes there every week, never noticed anything wrong.
I'm no veterinarian. I've been over there. I've walked in the relatively immediate vicinity. By immediate, I mean, 100 feet or so of some horses. I didn't notice anything either, but... Yeah, it's not like I'm looking. Horses might as well be trees as far as I'm concerned. So, but I can tell you that the authorities have acted very strange all
through this.
They're
not commenting. They're not even returning. They did not return my phone calls. I called as a member of the media. They didn't want to talk to me. They didn't want to talk to the union leader, an established local newspaper. And everybody's in the dark on this. They've stolen these people's horses, and they're just claiming, well, we're not commenting. The investigation's still going on. So the horses are gone, or at least some of the horses, because some are still there. They're alleging it was because of animal welfare, but there's no evidence whatsoever to say that it was an animal welfare issue. It seems like it's a vendetta. It seems like it's an attack against the Travis household because they are willing to stand up for their rights. They're willing to videotape these cops when they come by and they make these obscene demands about walking all over somebody's property and inspecting things and acting as though they own the place, which apparently they do. And so what's next? What's the next step here? I'm not sure exactly. I know some ideas are being thrown around as far as, protesting the SPCA, calling and letting them know that if you're a donator that you're going to withdraw your donations. Certainly you deserve an explanation. I think if you're a contributor to the SPCA, you deserve an explanation. I think everybody deserves an explanation at the very least, but none was given. Certainly Brian Travis and his wife weren't given an explanation besides some obscure allegation about paperwork.
Yeah, like the horses didn't have their papers, but it's my understanding that you don't need a license for a horse like you do for a dog in this state. That legislation was just shot down this year.
Now, we had Brian Travis on the show with us for an hour and a half last night. And in that hour and a half period of time, he never mentioned, and perhaps we didn't ask, but he never mentioned that they had been getting warnings.
No.
He never said that they had sent me warnings saying, hey, you don't have this paperwork, you need to get your paperwork straightened out, all of this. Now, I don't know if that would mean that he would obey those warnings, but he never mentioned being sent anything like that. Or, we've had allegations that your horses are sick, we're going to come take a look, you better fix this problem. Do they normally jump straight to, when they're confiscating animals for being sick or having some sort of animal welfare issue, do they normally just jump right straight to, let's steal the animals? Don't they even try to work things out? Let's say that was the case here. Did they even bother trying to do something without involving just stealing the horses first? 800-259-9231. We continue to follow this case for you, and you can bring up whatever you want. This is Free Talk Live.
And now it's time for the Health and Diet Tips Radio Minute with tips and advice on eating healthy and living long. Here's your host, nutrition and diet expert, and author of the Engine 2 Diet, Rip Esselstyn.
The myth that plant proteins are of a lesser quality
than animal proteins dates back to experiments performed on rats in the early 1900s. In reality, plants can supply all the essential and non-essential amino acids we need. Your brilliant body sorts it all out, and at the end of the day, complements your amino acid profile so it is perfectly balanced. In doing so, it creates a high-quality protein that is healthier, safer, and better than animal protein. Thus, there is absolutely no need to combine certain plant proteins at each meal in an attempt to achieve an optimal amino acid balance. For the Diet and Health Tips Radio Minute, I'm Rip Esselstyn.
For a transcript of this program, additional diet and health tips, and information about the Engine 2 diet, please visit theengine2diet.com. Professional athlete turned firefighter Rip Esselstyn is used to responding to emergencies. So when he learned that some of his fellow Engine 2 firefighters were in dire physical condition, he sprang into action and created the Engine 2 diet. With the Engine 2 diet, you'll transform your body and lifestyle in just 1 month. This eating plan is based on a simple diet of whole foods, and it's also packed with dozens of easy mouth-watering recipes. The Engine 2 diet is medically approved and is designed for anyone who wants to make heroic strides in health. The Engine 2 diet by Rip Esselstyn is available wherever books are sold.
We the People grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit and carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. On Placing a Silver Dollar in a Book explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
How many times have you been in the dark looking for a flashlight, only to find the one that you have is broken, the batteries are dead, or it's just not bright enough? You need the Packlight. The Packlight is the longest-lasting flashlight on the market and simply snaps onto any 9-volt battery and uses two high-powered LED lights. It's small enough to carry in your pocket, car, garage, and home. The Packlight can survive severe impact, be frozen solid, and still work flawlessly. The Packlight is so durable, soldiers overseas rely on them, and has been featured in the New York Times and Backpacker magazine. The Packlight comes with a 25-year warranty, and prices start at just $12.99. To learn more and see for yourself just how incredible this small flashlight can be, visit 9voltlight.com. That address again is 9voltlight.com. Or call us today at 877-715-4448. That's 877-715-4448.
It's a new year full of uncertainties. People are being laid off in record numbers. The price of food continues to rise, and the economy continues to falter. You know that you need to prepare. And maybe you've been putting it off, but the time to act is now. That's why you need to visit OrganicaSeed.com. At OrganicaSeed.com, you'll find one of the largest online selections of heirloom seeds and survival seed packs, as well as the giant vegetable seed collections that can feed you and your family for years. Imagine growing your very own fresh vegetables, wheatgrass, fruits, herbs, rice, tea, coffee, and tobacco. With detailed growing guides available to you at no charge, you can maximize your harvest and investment. And the best part? All orders ship within 24 hours. So head over to OrganicaSeed.com. That's OrganicaSeed.com. OrganicaSeed.com today.
This is Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231. And get interactive at FreeTalkLive.com.
Free Talk Live. You can bring up whatever you want via the toll-free number, 800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line. It's 1-800-259-9231. You can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. All the features, they are completely free, and they include the updates. You get signed up, we keep you in the loop, so enjoy all of those on us over at updates.freetalklive.com. And the Institute for Humane Studies is offering 12 different seminars this summer in locations across the country. Participation is free, and the IHS even covers meals and housing. Seminars are for those simply curious about libertarian philosophy, to those who are passionate about liberty, even those who want career advice, networking opportunities, and lectures relevant to each career path. You can go to libertarianseminars.com and register today. Deadline is March 31st. That's libertarianseminars.com. 1-800-259-9231. We continue with your phone calls. Let's talk to Jeremy in Montana. Jeremy, you are on Free Talk Live.
Hey, Jeremy? Guys. Hey, Jeremy? Guys. Never could get through last night.
Yeah, the phones were packed, and we had Brian Travis on for a long time talking about how the government people came in and stole his wife's horses from her. But go ahead with your thoughts.
Yeah, that's kind of what I wanted to talk about. I mean, this guy's got all these armed ranch hands, and he's armed himself. He bragged several times how they walked around with their pistols or whatever to protect their liberties. But as soon as their liberties were violated, they weren't willing to put them to use. That's what the Second Amendment's for, you know. And I mean, he had every right to shoot the cops that came in his house without a warrant to search it. Granted, he would have maybe not.
He'd be
lived.
Dead right now. We wouldn't be talking to him, of course. I mean, I see where you're coming from, Jeremy. I can empathize with how you feel.
That's all I'm
Look,
saying.
Man, I know. I'm with you, man. When I look at that situation, it's hard to not think about violence, and I have to make a very concerted effort to keep calm and remember that we need to be peaceful, and we need to be the better people. We need to not lower ourselves
so
to their
far,
level.
Ian.
Huh?
Look what being peaceful's got us so far.
I know. It looks like that they all they'll do is if you stand out, if you are somebody who's noticeable, as Brian Travis is, because his family is willing to stand up for their freedoms. If you're noticeable, they'll start to take away everything that you love from you until you either lash out or you completely break down and become an obedient serf again. And I understand where you're coming from, but I think that this can be solved peacefully, and I think that we need more people here in order to do it.
Well, me too, but I can understand what good does it do to have a Second Amendment right to protect our freedoms
sure.
if we're going to be scared.
But what
to
good,
use them
go,
when,
what good
when
would
it
do to shoot?
Time to use them.
What good would it do to shoot over them stealing your horses?
Well, I know how some guys feel about it up here because your show was on for that 2 hours last night on KGZ and it, you know, they were like, that's not happening on my property. I mean, that's just the way the mentality
that's
is.
That's great. It's easy to talk.
Part up here,
it's easy to talk about that. And then when the day when a dozen cops show up at your front door, then you'll be talking a different game, most likely. I bet those guys
right.
that said that would probably feel a little bit differently once they were sitting at home with their family, wife and kids are around, and the cops come knocking on their door. Do they pick up a gun and start blasting away at the police and then put their own life and their family's lives in even more and greater jeopardy? Or do they just go along with the program and fight it on the other end and hopefully get enough support in the local community to where they can actually win?
Well, that's the thing, Ian. I mean, I don't know. I'm just kind of stuck right now.
But when I say win, by the way, I mean
get along
damage.
With some of the cops up here, and some of them are jerks to me, and other ones are cool to me, and I wouldn't mm-hmm. want to get in a gunfight with either one of them. You know, the ones that like me or don't like, it doesn't
sure.
matter. You know, I don't want to ever have to be in a gunfight with somebody. But how long do you let your civil liberties be tramped upon and your family be tramped upon by this before
I
you
wish
have
I could
to
answer
make
that
the
question.
Decision?
I really, I don't know. Guys, do you have an answer to that question?
I mean, if you're a rancher, I could see the position you're taking. If somebody's taking your animals, that's essentially your livelihood. So
I see the position,
I think for
too.
A lot of guys, especially when they're, you know, their livelihood, everything they've worked for is tied up in animals, if the government's going to try to come and take them, for some people, that's probably the line they're going to draw.
Right. Well, for Brian Travis, it obviously wasn't. These were his wife's animals, and if he had pulled a gun, then his family would be... He'd be dead, and his family would never get to see him
Believe
again.
Believe me, Jeremy, I I can run those scenarios through my mind. I can see the movie scene where the guy, where Brian Travis, the rancher, stands up for his horses that are being taken by, you know, the government under the direction of some scorned bureaucrat that feels that he was made a fool of. But at the end of the movie, the only thing I can see is Brian Travis in a box.
Well, right, but that maybe it's going to take something like that to set what needs to be done off.
Well, I'll tell you what, Jeremy,
what
you can
saying.
Be the first one. Huh?
Yeah, I don't want to be it.
Thank you for the call,
nobody.
Dude. Thank you. 800-259-9231. Look, I understand.
It's a real quandary.
It's not an easy situation. everybody wants to be able to wake up to see the next sunrise, you know? I mean, so we've all got this self-preservation factor here to where we understand that, yeah, okay, if you want to go and be a martyr, then maybe somebody will remember you, but then again, maybe not. Maybe you'll be remembered as the crazy guy that was killed out in the middle of nowhere because he wouldn't let them take his wife's horses from them. I mean,
all I can think of is the Ballad of Carl Drega in these instances. And if you haven't seen this, go look up the Ballad of Carl Drega on the internet.
Right. Was Drega any less just? If you're saying that Brian Travis is justified in shooting some cops over them coming to take his horses, does that mean that Carl Drega was any less justified in shooting government bureaucrats because they were trying to regulate him to death?
I think Drega killed a couple people who weren't cops. He just
killed a couple people he didn't like. But yeah, he killed some government bureaucrat or some selectman.
I believe
he killed
his wife's attorney and somebody else too. He wasn't just resisting the cops. Drega kind of went off. I mean, Drega.
Well, the Drega state was after him. The state
He killed some cops, but he killed some other people who weren't actually trying to do any direct harm to him.
Really? I wasn't aware of that version of the case. I had heard that he killed, like, a town selectman or something like that because she was one of the people that was involved in preventing him from, like, building a dock in his backyard. I don't have all the details. If you can tell the story better than I, 800-259-9231. But anyway,
if you are righteous, Nick, they will paint the story that you're not. You know, it's not like they're going to report the story in an accurate way. Well, it looks like these cops had no reason to take these horses, and the rancher opened up on them because they didn't file any official charges, and so they were stealing them. So we, the newspaper and the major media, we support this guy who carries a gun on his hip every day in shooting a bunch of law enforcement officers. That is never going to
happen. Well, that's never, I mean, you have to also remember who's they. There's a lot of figures in history who are remembered differently by different groups. I mean, there's not one coherent narrative about Lincoln, for example. Most people remember him as a great guy, but there's those of us out here who don't. So.
There's close to a cohesive narrative on Lincoln. Close.
Toll-free number here tonight. Tonight is 800-259-9231. My point was Drega isn't really remembered fondly by anyone. Who knows who even Carl Drega really is? I mean, all the three of us have heard various different stories about him. I mean, we don't really even know the exact details of the story, and we're people that are relatively kind of close to situations like this in that we are relatively familiar with it compared to the average person. Most people just, they wouldn't even know who Carl Drega was if you ask them, and even if they live here in New Hampshire. 800-259-9231. I don't know where that line is, and I'm sorry that I don't, and maybe you've got the answer. Where's your line? It's Free Talk Live.
If you experience sudden bouts of joint discomfort, swelling, and redness, especially in your ankle or toe, you are not alone. Millions of Americans experience joint discomfort caused specifically by a buildup of crystallized uric acid in the joints. This can hinder your daily activities like walking and sleeping, and can keep you from enjoying your life until you try Uricinex. Uricinex is formulated to supplement the uric acid balancing nutrients you may not find in your everyday diet. As part of a healthy lifestyle, Uricinex helps relieve bouts of joint irritation while promoting your healthy joint comfort and control. No negative side effects, just lasting relief. For the past 4 years, Uricinex has helped people just like you from all over the world, with millions shipped to date. Call 1-888-4-FIT-LEGS. That's 1-888-434-8534. Or visit 4FITLEGS.com. That website is the number 4FITLEGS.com. And remember, ask how you can get Uricinex for free today.
Life Change Tea sets the standard. Have you heard on radio all the new teas with funny names, movie stars, celebrities endorsing these products and so on? Have you checked the results? Not the pictures of the bikini babes and such, but the results. Have you checked their pricing and the funky 3-month contracts and all that stuff? Have you checked the results? Oh, that's right, I said that. Did you check the ingredients and did you check for caffeine? Yeah. Life Change Tea is the real deal. Not a new yippee-yay tea, but a tea if you drink it daily, it'll change your life, and it will clean your body. Our middle name is Results. You can pay more, and you can have a celebrity smile, or you can get results. Your call. Or should I say, make the call. Get the tea at 928-308-0408. That's 928-308-0408. Or you can order online at getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com. Order now for real results.
Silver is mankind's oldest natural antibiotic. This very special mineral has been used for centuries by most cultures throughout the world. Utopia, Texas is home to a small but mighty supplement company called Utopia Silver, who offers colloidal products produced in distilled water without use of animal protein, nitrates, or saline solutions. Because our colloidal silver is made up of nano-sized particles, it can be better utilized at the cellular level, and germs can't mutate to be resistant like they can to modern-day antibiotics. Utopia Silver has a broad range of health supplements, including colloidal silver, gold, and copper, with a money-back guarantee on the colloidal products we produce. For 4 years, Utopia Silver has been fighting in the Texas courts against agencies that would steal our God-given rights of health care and freedom of speech. Visit us today at utopiasilver.com. That's U-T-O-P-I-A, silver.com. Or call 888-213-4338. 888-213-4338 and help us win this battle.
If you owe the IRS, you can't make the problem go away without professional help. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been solving tax debt problems for 30 years, and I can help you too. We can stabilize IRS collection action and get your tax debt reduced, sometimes completely eliminated. And if you received a 1099 from a bank because of mortgage or other debt forgiveness, the vast majority of the time, I can show you how to completely erase it so you pay no taxes on what the IRS will consider to be taxable income. Call us for a free consultation to discuss the many possibilities. Call 1-800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NOTAX. Or go to my website at taxhelponline.com.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for 3 decades, and he can help you. Call us today, 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Listening to GCN, the Genesis Communication Radio Network.
This is Free Talk Live. You can bring up whatever you want via the toll-free number at 800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line. It is Ian here with you.
And Nick.
And Mark.
You can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. All the features, they are completely free, so enjoy those on us. Again, that's Free Talk Live. .com, and the features include the Shrine of Female Listeners. Dozens of ladies. They've taken their taken validated photos of themselves, sent them into Free Talk Live to prove they listened to the show. Head over to shrine.freetalklive.com and see what that's all about. Shrine.freetalklive.com.
You're going to love this one. So if you go to freetalklive.com, you'll find our Adult Friend Finder banner. It's the world's largest adult social network and sex personals. Over 19 million members. 19 million members. I can hardly believe that. Let them help you find that someone tonight to hook up with. The banner is at freetalklive.com.
800-259-9231. So before we continue with the calls here, since we are confused, the three of us, on the story of Carl Draga, we will turn to the experts. Well, at least Wikipedia is as close as we can get.
Wikipedia is a great reference.
It really is a great resource.
I know that people, there are people that are Wikipedia snots, and I just got to say, largely, it's a great service.
Well, just like to cite where things are coming from here. So Wikipedia knows a little bit more than we certainly did. Nick, did you want to share the story?
Sure. So Carl Draga was a man from northern New Hampshire, from Bow, New Hampshire. And Draga had a long history of conflict with government officials over code enforcement issues, starting in the 1970s, over whether he could use his tar paper to set his vacation house in Columbia, New Hampshire. He claimed that in 1981, 80 feet of the riverbank along his property collapsed during a rainstorm. Draga decided to dump and pack enough dirt to repair the erosion damage, saying this would restore his lot along the Connecticut River to its original size. State officials, on the other hand, contested that Draga was trying to change the course of the river. In 1995, the town selectman, Vicky Bunnell, accompanied by a town tax assessor to Draga's property in a dispute over an assessment. I had that right. Draga fired shots into the air to drive him away.
Let's stop the story at that point. Now, we just talked to Jeremy in Montana, who was talking real tough about how, well...
No, he wasn't. He was saying that there were some people that he was, you know, with that were saying that. And he was saying, you know, when do you draw the line? That's all
sure.
he was saying.
Well, he sounded like he was one of those
He's frustrated.
I understand. I was too. I empathize. I completely empathize with Jeremy on this. Now, he was saying that, well, if you're going to have guns, why don't you use them? At what point will you draw that line and decide to go ahead and use your guns? If the purpose of the Second Amendment was to stop the depredations of the state to, at a certain point, to say, okay, I've had about enough, now you're going to meet with my guns the next time you want to come here with your stupid regulations and your taxes and your nonsense. That was the point of the Second Amendment, was to guard against a destructive state as well as other common criminals, from my understanding of what the founders originally intended. And so if... as far as lines being drawn, who could criticize Carl Draga for drawing the line there? This is supposed to be his property. His property was damaged by the natural elements. He decided he wanted to go and change it back. He wanted to add some land back to his land at the edge of the Connecticut River. In the other cases, he decided he wanted to do other things to his property that, for whatever reason, were prohibited by the local building ordinances. Or perhaps the actual activities weren't prohibited. Perhaps he just didn't want to go and get permits for them. So Carl Draga decided to draw the line there, and he actually fired some shots into the air.
Right, warning shots. He wasn't trying to take them out.
Which is an appropriate interim step between actually shooting a bureaucrat, right? To say, hey, I'm pretty serious here.
I mean, if you're warning them off your property, it's appropriate to let them know that you're serious before you just shoot them.
Right.
Well, yeah, but I mean, how many people out there have the law enforcement officers taken down without a warning shot?
Have the what?
Without.
Plenty, yeah. But it's courtesy.
Just saying. I agree that it's courtesy. I'm just saying that, you know, I'm trying to look at this from the point standpoint that, and I don't know that this is true, just that I'm looking at it from the standpoint that Carl Draga was right and the bureaucrats are wrong. That happens sometimes. I don't know. And that bureaucrats, the veil of legitimacy that the state has doesn't exist, and that, in fact, they're just men and women, you know, using force. I'm trying to look at it from that standpoint and decide whether or not I feel like Carl Draga was acting inappropriately. And sounds like a warning shot, sounds like a pretty good thing to have done.
Yes, and Draga had bought an AR-15 rifle and armor vest and began equipping his property with early warning electronic noise and motion detectors. It doesn't say when he did that, so I'm assuming he had done this prior to giving the warning shots. On August 19th, 1997, at about 2:30, two New Hampshire state troopers, Scott Phillips and Les Lord, stopped Draga in the parking lot of La Pearl's IGA supermarket in Colebrook, New Hampshire. Draga shot and killed both troopers. Draga then stole their vehicle and drove to the office of former selectman, then lawyer and part-time judge.
Why'd they stop? Yeah, also I was wondering, we don't know why. It doesn't say in the actual story.
Why he killed them? I've heard from the account I remember hearing, I think some people said it had something to do with the divorce, but I think it might have also had to do with just...
the property.
Yeah, the property, or I think at one... Yeah, I don't know. He just didn't like the judge or the selectman. Bunnell reportedly carried a handgun in her purse out of fear of Draga, but may not have had it with her that day. She warned the staffers in the building to get out before she herself left by the back door. Draga went around the outside of the building and shot her in the back from a range of about 30 feet.
Hmm.
Bunnell died. Dennis Juice, editor of the local Colebrook News and Sentinel, worked in the office housed in the same building. Unarmed, he ran out and tackled Draga. During the struggle for control of the gun, Draga shot Juice and... Juice, I don't know how you pronounce it, J-O-O-S, in the torso and back, killing him. Then he drove across the border to Bloomfield, Vermont, where he fired at New Hampshire Fish and Game Warden Wayne Saunders, sending his car off the road. And from there, Draga was pretty much taken down. His injuries took him down because he did take some bullets.
I'm looking here at a Time magazine story about this, and it claims that the two state troopers were trying to cite him for rust holes in his red truck.
Yes, I heard it had something to do with inspection
so,
registration.
So it sounds like a guy who just finally got fed up with the intervention in his life by the state. And, you know, I know that rust holes bother some people. I don't know how rust holes affect the operation of a vehicle. I've never had a vehicle with rust holes in it. I know that I do have a plow truck that I have that has some rust on it, but I don't have it licensed. You don't have to in New Hampshire. So, you know, just does my driveway. I don't go out on the road with it. So, you know, I don't know. It sounds like a guy who snapped.
Yeah.
He's not justified in killing the state troopers in that they weren't attempting to, they weren't attempting to cart him off to jail.
Whose business is it of
theirs? The rust holes are certainly not their business. Okay. I agree with that, but I don't think...
I'm not saying that he's justified. I'm just saying whose business is it.
But yes, I can certainly still empathize with Draka because he had it up to here with these government bureaucrats ruling over his life, telling him how he should take care of his property, how he needs to live, all kinds of micromanaging control over his business, and he just had enough. And those two cops happened to, you know, get in his way at that point.
Right. And, you know, I guess the point that we're trying to make with all this is that it doesn't make any difference if you go off. And you know,
it does make a difference.
You don't make any positive effect on anything.
There is no positive effect. The difference is negative in that when somebody uses violence back against the state, which is what Jeremy was suggesting earlier, when you use violence back in retaliation, you're lowering yourself to their level, and you give them the excuse to double their arms, you know, to arm up even more and to become even more militarized.
Well, sort of, but you also had Waco. That wasn't really something that the government looked really bad after that, and that drove a lot of people into the militia movements.
Some people, but I mean, I think by and large, nobody cares about Waco.
If you bring up Waco to people who are informed about what happened at Waco, which isn't just libertarians or, you know, conspiracy nuts. I mean, there are a lot of people who are familiar with the events at Waco. Most people will agree that the government acted, at the very least, over-aggressively. They might not disagree with the fact that the government was raiding them, but I think most people feel that the government botched that pretty bad.
So you're saying that's kind of a silver lining to Waco?
I think that... if the government's doing terrible things to you, sometimes people are going to see that and they're going to recognize that. So I'm not saying violence is a positive thing. I'm just saying you're not always going to be completely smeared.
1-800-259-9231. Any way you slice it, it's a tough decision to make and one I think should be avoided as much as possible. Free Talk Live.
A congressman recently revealed that legislation totaling 2,900 pages and involving more than $1 trillion was available to members of Congress for less than 48 hours to study and consider. That's over 60 pages of legislation per hour. Do you think anyone read the entire bill? I'm Jim Babcock with DownsizeDC.org. Consider a proposal buried in a 3,200-page, $388 billion bill, which would have empowered committee chairmen or their agents to examine Americans' tax returns. When this horrible provision came to light, no one claimed to know how it got into the bill. One congressman questioned said, "I didn't write it, I didn't approve it, I wasn't even consulted." If your attorney represented you this way, he might be disbarred. But this is how Congress represents you every day. That's why DownsizeDC.org has created the Read the Bills Act. You can force Congress to read their bills before they pass them at DownsizeDC.org.
What are you going to do if your family has no food in the event of an emergency? Do you really want to find out?
And gamble with your family's lives?
Order a one-year supply that will feed 4 to 5 people for only $39.95. That's right, a one-year supply for under $4,000 from yourfoodstorage.com.
We've been helping families prepare for more than a decade.
Order now and receive free shipping anywhere in the lower 48.
Remember, yourfoodstorage.com.
Or call 888-814-0289. That's 888-814-0289. Yourfoodstorage.com.
Wondering about your retirement portfolio? Is your financial advisor experienced enough to combat rising interest rates, taxes, and inflation? Stop guessing and go to the expert, Robert Chapman of the International Forecaster. With 45 years of experience and concise investment recommendations, who needs sugar-coated excuses? Get the cold hard facts and a proven investment strategy. For a free introductory copy to the International Forecaster, call 877-479-8178 or go to theinternationalforecaster.com. That's 877-479-8178. 877-479-8178.
Have you ever read the ingredients in your skin creams, personal hygiene products, vitamins, or herbal supplements? Did you know that most skin creams, body lotions, shampoos, and toothpastes are full of chemical additives such as sodium lauryl sulfate, the same type of detergent used in dish soap? Did you know that most multivitamin supplements are made from synthetic vitamins? Did you know that many herbal remedies contain unwanted additives and fillers? Have you ever tested your body's pH level? Make the change to only organic health and beauty products. Visit 2BNatural.com and order today. 2BNatural.com carries 100% natural and chemical-free skincare, whole food vitamins, herbal remedies, and alkaline body balance supplements. Visit TOBENatural.com. That's TOBENatural.com. 2BNatural.com. Use coupon code GCN and receive a 10% discount. Call 1-888-417-1375. That's 1-888-417-1375 to order or request your free catalog today.
Attention. This is an extremely urgent, self-reliant news bulletin. If you have ever wanted to produce your own cheaper-than-dirt survival food, this is going to be the most important message you will ever hear. Here is why. This network has just learned of a new video course that reveals the secrets of how to safely prepare and store all types of survival foods in an event of social unrest and food shortages here in the U.S. Grain shortages and hunger are spreading across the globe. Will troops guard the food supplies in the U.S. this fall? Don't wait. Learn the food shortage skills that can keep you and your family alive in a crisis. Get the details at foodshortageusa.com. That's foodshortageusa.com. Or you can call toll-free 877-327-0365. Don't wait for empty shelves. Go to foodshortageusa.com while you still have time. www.foodshortageusa.com or toll-free at 877-327-0365. Act now.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231 and log on at freetalklive.com.
This is Free Talk Live. You can bring up whatever you want if you dial the toll-free number at 800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line. It is Ian here with you.
And Nick.
And Mark. And you can join us online at freetalklive.com. The features we give to you free, so enjoy those on us. And if you like the show and you want to help support Free Talk Live, you can do that by shopping with us at amazon.freetalklive.com. Enter Free Talk Live through that link, or rather Amazon through that link, and Free Talk Live will get a percentage of your purchase. Start your shopping at amazon.freetalklive.com as we continue here with your phone calls, talking to Matt in Georgia on the Amp Line. Hello, Matt. You're on Free Talk Live.
Hello, gentlemen. How are you?
What's on your mind tonight?
Well, I wanted to talk a little bit about, you know, what Jeremy was bringing up. As I listened to last night's podcast, I found myself experiencing some of those same things. And, you know, Ian and Mark, I go through the same mental headache that you guys do. It's like, you know, as much as you're tempted to go to that point, you're not going to accomplish anything.
Nope. If you kill a bunch of cops, but just to recap, so people just turning, tuning in, what you're referencing is a call earlier suggesting, well, there has to be a line drawn somewhere, and at that point you need to get violent with these government people when they're trying to rule over your life. And I just feel like, you know, if you kill a bunch of cops when they're trying to order you around, then you end up dead. The cops end up dead. The police department fills its ranks with new cops, and then, you know, you're dead. So how is that a good situation? How is that desirable to in any way?
Well, and I would actually build on it one further. When I look at the Free State Project, and I admire you guys from afar for what you're doing, and, you know, I often think about what it's like to be there and stuff like that. But so I look at what you're doing. I mean, I'm going to get recognition from all of you guys that the government is a gang of thugs. No arguments, right?
Sure, right.
So I think what is unique about the Free State Project is, at least in the eyes of some of the people of that gang of thugs, you are the rival gang.
Mm-hmm. Probably true.
And I think that, you know, just like what we're talking about with the escalation of violence, I would actually argue that if there had been a shootout over the horses yesterday, the Free State Project is basically dead. you know, at Maybe. That point. I think it gets discredited.
It would be really bad PR. I think that if Brian Travis had shot and killed some cops over these horses, that would be some real bad PR compared to, let's say it's true that, you know, the allegations over the union leader that there was animal hoarding going on, that means that the animals were actually being neglected. I would imagine that Brian shooting a bunch of cops would be a worse situation than if it were true that the horses were actually being ignored or something.
I would say so too.
Yeah, I agree 100%. And then take it one further. Let's say they don't block off the road and a bunch of activists actually, you know, make it onto the property with guns and you've got the big OK Corral shootout. I mean, this just makes it even worse. I mean, I understand the frustration. I understand the desire of people to want to go there. But it doesn't accomplish anything in the long run. It's like for this movement to work and win, you know, the rival gang has to represent their values, and so that value of nonviolence has to stick.
Right. The reality is we have to, if we're going to experience a voluntary society, we have to win people's hearts and minds. And we know how we feel at the point of a gun. We don't appreciate the fact that these government goons are pointing weapons and threatening us and threatening to steal our houses and our property and our horses and our families from us. We don't appreciate any of that. And it's easy to want to respond in kind, but we can't lower ourselves to their level. We need to set a better example for these folks, and we need to bring them on board with the ideas of freedom. Now, some of them don't seem to be too interested in even talking about what it is that they are doing. I've been in a discussion over the NHFree.com forums on this thread. It's called Brian Travis Invaded by Bureaucrats over at NHFree.com and the forums there. And the debate has been, well, should people who are upset over this situation be contacting Steve Sproul from the SPCA or the police chief and expressing their discontentment? And I say, absolutely. I say there's nothing wrong. I say there's nothing wrong with that at all. But some of the opposition is saying, well, you need to be using logical points with these people. Don't get emotional with them. You don't want to be perceived as attacking them, etc. And it just makes me feel like, wait, we can't tell these people how we feel about what they've done. There's something wrong with me saying to them, you ought to be ashamed for what you've done. There's a problem with that. Activists are looking at that and they're saying that there's something wrong with that particular approach. Look, if this Steve Sproul from the SPCA had called back and engaged in a conversation and said, well, we've looked into the situation, we believe these horses were being abused, and had actually had some sort of level of conversation or public relations and tried to talk about this, then yeah, let's talk logic with this guy. But he's not going to listen. He's not going to return phone calls. He's going to be a jerk, just like he was months ago when Cooper, Brian's son, was arrested. I see nothing wrong with text messaging or emailing or phone calling and leaving voicemail for this guy saying how unpleased and disappointed you are with him and his activities.
Well, I agree, but I think the point to drive home with a character like that is, where were your motives? I think Sam did a great job last night of bringing up, you know, if this guy really cared about the horses, if that's what really was at stake here, then there is absolutely no way that those horses were being hauled off that piece of property fundamentally against their will, let alone the people who own them, and taken God knows where to be thrown in with however many other horses and who knows what. There's just no argument for why that behavior. So obviously there's another motive. And I think, you know, making, just pointing that out, and then the only other thing that I'll say, and I'll let you guys, get on to other callers and stuff, is, you know, I think this is the challenge for the Free State Project. It's like, I think that you're going to have people in that gang of thugs that are going to want to get to that point of, let's get the guns out, because we win when the guns are out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, you know, I think they're going to try, somebody someday is going to try and push it to that level. The credit goes to you guys for having the success you're having. You know, you're slowly winning, so you're getting attention.
Well, thank you, Matt. I really appreciate it.
Excellent,
that.
Matt. So when do you sign up?
You know how you guys often talk about, you recognize that people have strings that hold them where they are? I have a number of strings in my household.
Gotcha.
So, But I support you from afar. I think you guys are doing great work.
Well, one of the things you can do if you haven't done so yet is to head over to the CD Evolution Fund at cdevolution.org and get signed up there for a contribution if you really do want to support these activists up here. I can tell you that we're definitely going to be looking into utilizing the Civil Disobedience Evolution Fund for the purposes of hiring Randy Kelton to come out here and consult with Brian and look into this situation, look into going after these government bureaucrats, not just in Brian's situation, situation, but also in several other situations that are up here. And we don't have Sam to talk about who Randy Kelton is, but he's the guy that Sam from the Obscure Truth Network has learned from about how to go after the government bureaucrats with criminal charges, not just to some sort of administrative complaint using their administrative complaint process, which can easily be blown off into nothing. Actually filing criminal charges against government people for using, you know, for official oppression and other things like that. This Kelton guy is apparently the go-to man for this particular sort of expertise, and so we're looking at bringing him in to really research the New Hampshire code and the criminal court procedure and all of that, and to really nail down a procedure for us and some documents and to really kind of dig into this situation up here so we can all learn from this and hopefully better protect ourselves when we're under attack from these government bureaucrats. So cdevolution.org to get behind some of the activity up here. Thanks, Matt, for the call tonight. 800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line. We are going to talk to you about whatever you want. Let's talk to Steve in Toronto. Steve, you're on Free Talk Live. Steve? Steve's gone. I apologize. Let's talk instead to William in Philly. William, you're on Free Talk Live with Ian, Nick, hey. And Mark.
Good evening, guys. How are you
doing? What's on your mind tonight, William?
I actually wanted to address a couple of topics.
Sure.
Real quick, just to give you a little bit about my background. I was an Army intelligence officer for 12 years. I was a Philadelphia police officer for 2 years, and now I teach high school history, civics, and social studies. And the topic of actually using force to fight back has come up in the classes that I teach with my students when we discuss revolutions around the world, especially, as you can imagine, the American Revolution.
Yeah.
And being the patriot that I am, and having the background that I have, I like to get my students to think. I don't just want to tell them the facts about the revolution and gloss over it. I want them to think about it. So the philosophical questions come up. When do you use force to fight for what you believe in? And there is no right or wrong answer. And what I try to get my students to realize is what they have to do is essentially a cost-benefit analysis. What one man thinks is worth risking his life for may not be what another man thinks.
This is true.
And we have to look at human psychology. You may have 1,000 people in your community that are willing to fight for a cause, and they all believe in the same cause, but none of them wants to be the first one out there to do it.
Sure.
That doesn't mean you're alone. And sometimes things explode. When we look at our forefathers, when we look at, you know, we know the big names. We know Jefferson. We know Washington. We know Hamilton. We know that. But people don't realize that years before those names were even known, there were small farmers, guys whose names we'll never know, who did pick up arms against the British.
I'm going to come back to you. I know you've got more, and I had another point, and I'll let you continue here in moments. Hour number two is on the way. More with William Hopley and your calls as well about whatever you want. This is Free Talk Live.
It's no secret that Genesis Communications Network depends on listeners like you. Now you can do even more to hear Genesis shows in your area. Simply call your local radio stations and tell them about your favorite GCN programs. It's easy. Log on to GCNlive.com or call us toll free, 877-807-4048. Make a difference. Call your local stations and contact us through affiliate relations at GCNlive.com or call 877-807-4048. Call today.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit and carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.